cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.
Amen. Amen. Good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How you doing? God is good. God is real good. And we thank him for blessing us to be here today to worship his great name. If you are visiting with us, you are honored guests, and thank you. Elders, we acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're joining us by a way of live stream, by way of television, good morning to you. We wish you were here with us. We know some of you wish you could be here. God's providence, you may be ill, you may be at home, you may be out of town, and may God bless you as you recover. We hope and pray that God will get you to the point that if you're in Houston, that you will be able to come and worship us together in spirit and in truth. We hope we can say something that may touch your heart. If you have a prayer request, you need to talk to someone, if you call a number on your screen, we'll be more than happy to minister to you even this morning. Just good to be here. Beautiful day, beautiful weather. Amen, amen. I know you. Some of us are never satisfied. It's a good day, though. It's a good day. God has smiled. I believe that he has. Yeah. Who we hear my God. Oh, yes, he smiled on me. He's been good. God is good to me. Sing like you mean it this morning. Amazing grace. Will our sweet the sound. Yes, that saved a wretch like me. Will I once. Oh, yes, but now I'm. His was blind, but now I see. It's all because my God. Oh yes, he smiled on me. I believe that he has set me free. Will my God. Oh yes, he smiled on me. Yes, he's so good to me. Amen. Amen. Do you know your history? Do you know your history? We are continuing in the series we started a few weeks ago. Meet with us in the book of Genesis. History can be most beneficial to us. Not that we live in the past, simply that we know our past so we can learn from our past. I've subtitled the lesson this morning, Lessons from the Tower of Babel. Lessons from the Tower of Babel. Genesis chapter 11, beginning at verse number 1. This is after the great flood, after the great flood. I always recognize, and there are those who are skeptics who do not believe in the biblical account, and, so we're aware of that, so don't be. I know some are skeptic, but we'll try to present proofs, evidence. Some are skeptic just because they're skeptic of everything, but we'll try to present some evidence for the case of the Bible, but some of it will take some other time. But after the great, some are skeptic about the great flood, although there is much evidence that there was a flood of dimensions that the world has never seen since. But some are still skeptic. Genesis chapter 11 and verse number 1. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. This is good, especially for young folks. You ever wondered how the languages came about as they are today? And there are several different languages and dialects. Did you not know, according to the biblical record, there was a time that everybody in the world spoke the same language? I wish it were like that today, don't you? I wish that there's a reason why the languages came about, and we're gonna try to present that and observe that today. But there was a time that all the languages were all one language. And so here the biblical record gives it. It says it came about. I want to read all of this, and I want you to listen closely. And it came about as they journeyed east, they would be the children of Israel. They would be the descendants of Noah, the descendants of Noah after the great flood. His son, he had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. I don't have time to read all. Some of this you got to read on your own. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And here, listen, it says, it came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, underline the phrase, said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us, underline this phrase, make for ourselves a name. Underline that in your mind. Make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, and then underline this phrase in your mind, we will be scattered. We will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. Notice this. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they have begun to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. Wow, that's some history in that. There's a lot of history in that. I wonder, let's see if we can learn something from this text. Well, we have to go back a little bit, because it seems, if you go to verse 2, it says, it came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land. See, they were journeying, and when they were journeying, they actually were doing the will of God. Because we see in Genesis chapter, you stay with me this morning now. You see in Genesis chapter 10, verse 5, this was God's orders to them. He said this, from these the coast, excuse me, Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah, this is after the flood, and his sons, and said, notice God blessed them. They're on dry land now. This is after the flood. And said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. God blessed them. And he said, listen, this is what I want you to do. Shem, Jam, and Japheth, their wives were with them also. He says, I want you to have children. And I want you to spread out and fill the earth. That was God's orders. Now, that was needed because, you know, before the flood, God destroyed the whole, all the people, because there was evil on the earth. And thank God for faithful Noah. And God blessed them. Now the waters had descended. They're on dry land. And he says, y'all go out and say. And then we get to chapter 11. You see, they did that. They started. They were journeying eastward. They were doing just what God told them to do. And it's beautiful. A lot of times we do that. We start off good. And we obeying God's will, and some of us just get baptized, and we're excited. Some of us, we were walking straight and narrow, but Lord have mercy, I don't know what happened to us. You know, we fall by the wayside. And let me make this point also. I think I have a pointer. Go back to verse 2. And they found a plain in the land of Shinar. I make this note for the skeptics who, you know, you got folk who believe in evolution, and that just, they say the languages just evolve. People started evolving, and they spread out in different places, and the languages evolved. You know, I don't know. I guess something came from nothing. That's not Bible. And I reject that. You can accept it if you want to, but I fully reject that. It just don't make sense. Common sense. And they came to the land of Shinar. Pull up the first map I have in my slide, the first land of Shinar. And I just want to point this out. Shinar, there's Shinar there, in Mesopotamia. It's also it's also related to Babylon, and you know Babylon. And this is a map of the area of Mesopotamia. This area is Middle East, north, kind of a northwest of the tip of Africa where you see Egypt. Notice present day Iran and Iraq, the Euphrates rivers, all of these places still exist today. Although this is biblical record thousands of years ago. Now pull up the far away map a little bit further. They can see a little bit more in the land. I just want to show you this. This would be Babylon. So the land of Shinar, also Mesopotamia, Arabia, you see northern Africa, part of Egypt, Turkey would be up in this area. That makes sense, makes a whole lot of sense because remnants of Noah's Ark have been found in eastern Turkey. Remnants of the north in eastern Turkey. So it makes sense that after God blessed them there in Turkey, that they start spreading out. That wouldn't be very far from them. Turkey up in this area. And so here's Babylon. And so they were journeying and they came to this plain land. It's a flat plain. That's what they came to. And they saw this beautiful land. And who made the land? Question. God made all the land. And God makes some beautiful things. And they came to this land of Shinar. And they said, and then all of a sudden they looked out here and then notice this first phrase. They said to one another, Lord, that's a dangerous phrase. They said, instead of listening to God, they started talking to themselves. And I wish I had time to go through even some more history because you know somebody had to bring it up. Somebody had to start talking to say, listen, you know what? This is a nice land. This is a nice land. He said, you know what? Let's do our own thing. You heard that before. You know, everybody got our bright ideas. And actually, when you get to chapter 11, this is really kind of a flashback. It's kind of a flashback because you have to see a little bit of history. Go to chapter 10, verse 5. Genesis chapter 10, verse 5. Stay with me now. Chapter 10, verse 5. This is previous. Sometimes we read the Bible and we think the Bible is written in chronological order, but that's not so. There often Bible will give a great generality, and then sometimes it goes back to specifics that happen actually before the generalities that it gives. And that's what chapter 11 is really a flashback. Listen to chapter 10. From these coastlands of the nations, after God gives the generations of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. It says their sons. It talks about their sons. And then it says in chapter 10, verse 5, from these the coastlands of the nations were separated into their own lands, everyone according to their language, according to their families, into their nations. Young folks, listen to this history now. According to this, is that it says that, listen, this all of the languages have starting to be separated into their lands, according to their languages, according to their families, into their nations. But see, now, if the folk would have acted right, if the folk would have obeyed God, there would have been just one language. And so God takes out the time to let us know how these languages came about. And really, it was rebellion, flat out rebellion, why the languages came about. Just like sometimes we going along, same thing with Adam and Eve. God had everything set for them in paradise, and it's rebellion and disrespect that changed the plan. And here. And if you look even closer, you'll see specifically somebody led the charge. If you were reading in history, matter of fact, let's go back to verse number 8 in Genesis chapter 10. And when he gives the genealogies, he gives us a little glance of how some of this foolishness started. Listen to Genesis chapter 10, verse 8. Now, Cush became the father of Nimrod. Remember that name, Nimrod? Now, ooh, Lord, I wish I had time to give even more history. Because see, Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Ham was the youngest son. And some of you that know the Bible, you know some of this history, that after the flood resided and God blessed them, they came out the flood, Noah planted a vineyard. He planted a vineyard and he got drunk from the own grapes of the vineyard. Yes, faithful Noah got drunk. Amen. Don't say, oh, thank you, Brother Gary, because I want to drink myself. Come on now, that's not what that's that. Yeah, no, it just tells us everybody can make mistakes. Yeah, Noah got drunk. He got so drunk he got butt naked. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. So I'm sorry, y'all. Don't reprimand me for saying. But he got naked. I said, let me say that. He was naked in his tent. Y'all forgive me. I don't want to hear this after the sermon. Okay. He got naked and he was in his tent. And Ham, the youngest boy, saw him. He came in and see, and it was a sign of disrespect to look upon an elderly, especially your parents. In other words, and it was not only he saw him, it doesn't say it in the passage, but it's almost he mocked him. Because his other two brothers came and Ham told daddy in there naked, like he wanted to make fun of his daddy. And the other two boys took a blanket and they walked backwards so they couldn't see him. But when Noah came to, I don't know why, y'all tell me this now, I don't know if this is true. When you drunk, do you remember what happened when you were drunk? Okay, you just ponder over there for a minute. But if you read it on your own, you see Noah realized what had happened. And so he was drunk, but he wasn't that. You know how some folks take drunk, I don't remember nothing. You remember some of that stuff. Oh, that mercy. But Noah, he realized what happened, and the Bible says they put a curse on Ham and his descendants. I mention all that. You read it on your own, chapter 9, Genesis chapter 9, chapter 10. I mention all that because I don't know if this animosity. And Ham was the father of Cush, who was the father of Nimrod. And now when we get to chapter 10, that's a little bit. You can read the rest on your own. Now, Cush became the father of Nimrod. He became a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord, the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. And he and Erech and Akkad and Calne in the land of Shinar. Nimrod. That, I wonder if he had something to do. I'm going to tell you something. I know he did. The very name Nimrod means the rebel. And even other historians, Josephus, well-respected Jewish historian who wrote about history. That's why I say some folks say this is fantasy. It's not fantasy. It's history. Listen to what Josephus wrote about Nimrod. Listen to what Josephus wrote. He said this. Now, it was Nimrod. This is not in the Bible. This is history. He said, now, it was Nimrod who excited them to such an affront and contempt of God. He was the grandson of Ham, the son of Noah, a bold man. Now, and of great strength of Ham. See, when you read this Genesis chapter 10, it sounds like Nimrod was a good fellow. They said he was a mighty hunter. That's not what that means. That is not what that means at all. Listen to this. He said this. He persuaded them not to ascribe it to God, as if it were though his means they were happy. He said, don't praise God for all these, that you think God is being good to us, but to believe that it was their own courage which procured that happiness. He also gradually changed the government into tyranny, seeing no other way of turning men from the fear of God, but to bring them into a constant dependence upon his, Nimrod's own power. This is Nimrod. This is what Josephus, how did he know all of this about Nimrod? He says this, he said Nimrod was a leader, a rebel leader, and he was trying to convince the folk, don't depend on God, it's our power that's doing all of this. Listen to what else he said. He also said he would be revenged on God. Notice, I wonder if Nimrod must have known. Now listen, children. Listen, it's a shame when you have to suffer for your parents' misgivings and your parents' faults. But I'm going to tell you something. It happens sometimes. It puts us at a disadvantage. But you have to make up in your mind, because all of us live our lives for ourselves. And it's not our parents we need to, it's not a God you need to be mad at. Because God, you can still do right when in God's eyesight and receive his blessings. Stop living a life of rebelliousness and I don't want to obey God because I'm mad at, don't be mad at God. Just do what's right. Yeah. He also said, notice this, he said he would be revenged on God if he should have a mind to drown the world again. For that he would build a tower too high for the waters to be able to reach, and that he would avenge himself on God for destroying their forefathers. That's what Josephus wrote about Nimrod. And so when we get to chapter 11, you see that the Bible says in verse number 3 of chapter 11, they said to one another, and Nimrod, it seems, was leading the charge. And I was reading this, I said, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You have to be careful because a talented, hardworking individual with the wrong motives is dangerous. What are you saying, Brother? We'll see somebody that's talented, whether it's in singing, whether it's in sports, whether it's in education. Ooh, he's smart. He knows a lot. If his motives are not right, you don't need to be following him. And we uplift folk because they can sing. If they can sing, but their morals are wrong, we don't need to be following them. And we don't need to be lifting people up based on just their talent. And Nimrod was a mighty warrior. I would imagine that he had a muscular frame and that he was loud and he was very persuading. But just because somebody talks good don't mean they are good. And that is so true of our young folks. It's because we're influenced by folks. Oh, can she sing? Ooh, she's so pretty. He's so fine. Ooh, he's the best player it is around. That don't mean nothing if their motives are not pure. Lord have mercy. And we, he said to one another, come, let us. This is how talented Nimrod was. He said, come, let us make bricks and burn them. Because listen, in the land of Shur, even today in Babylon, in that land, it's a flat land. There are not many rocks there. You know, most of the time you build, you have to have stone. They didn't even have any stones. And he was so smart, or the people were so smart, they made bricks. Out of whatever material was there, they made tar and they started building. Some people call it the ziggurat. The ziggurat. There some of them are still around today. Started building this massive tower. I have a picture of a tower. You have a picture of the tower up here. I don't know if it looked like this, but it was massive. These ziggurats were built in spirals. Some of them are in some lands, the lands of Ur right now. Some traces of some are still in existence, but this had to be a mighty looking structure because it impressed God. When the Bible says God came down, he saw that what the people built. That's some impressive things that happen in this world today. You know, you have folks who, you have scientists who are literally cloning. They've already cloned animals. Animals who look like animals, animals that were not necessarily born, they make you, but they still, even though they're cloning, they still have to use a live person's samples to do it. But just to be smart enough to clone something, that's mighty smart. Listen, you know what? And you know, you can be that smart and you start thinking, Lord, I don't need God for nothing. Yeah, there's some smart kids. I was watching the news a couple of weeks ago. I saw this young man. Was he 11 or 12 years old, already in college? I'm like, he going to college? Yeah, yeah. But just because you have this knowledge, this brain, it's just because you know things, just because you can recite things, don't mean you're right with God. Yeah, yeah, and there are some smart individuals, and they started building bricks and burned them thoroughly, and they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach. What in the world were they trying to do? Whose top it said will reach into heaven. And this wasn't trying, this wasn't reaching into heaven to be with God. It was reaching into heaven to defy God. Yes, to defy what God stood for. And it's obvious throughout the Bible that God despises arrogant self-dependence. Let me say that. God despises us not acknowledging who our blessings come from. And all of us can fall into that same. Some of us, we don't do it necessarily in rebellion, but we do it in our lifestyle. Who got us up this morning? Yeah, you start thinking, well, you know, I get up every morning, 5:30, and I work out, and I read books, and I'm in the best shape of my life. So what? Because God can snap that in a minute. Folk in the best health, folk who run marathons have strokes, and who die on the spot. And as soon as and God, you know, sometimes God just let us slide. He just let things go as to make us think that we are, and he let that tower be built way up. And I would imagine when they got halfway, they said, oh, yeah, we got this. Yeah, we're going to be up in heaven. Yes, we got this. And some of us, our lives are the same way because God is giving us time. He's sparing us. And we hit and miss. Some of us is. I know I'm talking to the wrong crowd this morning. But you have a lot of individuals who live defiant lives, and feel like you are in total control, but you are not. You on borrowed time this morning. Yes, you're on borrowed time. And here, Nimrod and all of his followers. And I imagine as they were building this ziggurat, as they were building this tower, they would just say, well, oh, yeah, Nimrod, we got us on the right. Nimrod is a great leader. Oh, yeah, we got this going on. Because they were consulting themselves and not were consulting God. Is that a lesson for us today, Brother Gere? Oh, yes, that's a lesson. Listen to Galatians chapter 5 in the New Testament, chapter 7. The scripture talks to Christians. It says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Yeah, and see, the children, the descendants of Noah, they started off doing just what God said. They were spreading out. They had one language. And you know what? Us, oneness in Christ, nobody can stop. Yeah. Well, that's why. Listen, we need to be thankful. We need to, if our congregation, if we stay with God, if we follow God's word, if we stay humble, and we are always careful to give God the glory for anything that happens to us, there is absolutely nothing and nobody that can stop us doing what God would have us to do. We set some goals at the beginning of the year. We set some goals. And just these goals are not for nobody else but God. Amen. And there is nothing. So I was looking at our bulletin, and I'm not don't pat yourself on the back too hard. I was looking at our bulletin, and we said, listen, we want everybody to give from the hearts. To give generously. We didn't set a specific amount, but we say, listen, give like you love God. As we're trying to do wonderful things. I noticed, I was talking to the elders, I know our offering has been up since the beginning of the year. And we know what we ought to say, praise the Lord. No, don't stop, don't stop. Don't say, okay, I'm through, Brother Gere. Don't stop giving. And that's just one thing. That's just one thing. See, well, listen, and God recognized that. We see, listen, let's go on in the text. He says this. He said, let us come, let us build for ourselves a city, a tower. And I read Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, and because, see, they were obeying the truth. Now, we got to keep on obeying the truth. Listen to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. You do know there's only one gospel. There is only one way for us to get from heaven to God. The Bible says there's one body, there's one spirit, even as you call, and one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We got to keep on teaching that. There's not three different ways that we obey the gospel. There's one way. And we stand on that 100%, and we don't change that. What if somebody dying? What if somebody in the hospital and they can't get to the water and they can't get baptized? What if somebody in the hospital and they can't get baptized? Would they be saved? Listen, then, are you in the hospital? Are you? Listen, we know there may be extreme situations, but they give situations like that just to discredit God's plan. Because you're not in the hospital, so you need to get in the ward. Amen, somebody. And God will make a way. Let's stop trying to change God's plan. Yeah, and which happens all the time. Yeah, see, listen. And they built their own bricks. And they made their own tower. And then they said this, and as we continue in verse number 4, who are reaching them, and let us make for ourselves a name. Let us make for ourselves a name. And you can tell where their hearts is there. Let us make for ourselves a name. One historian, he said this, referring to Philo Judaeus. He said this in his writings. They engraved everyone his name. I'm quoting from him. They engraved everyone his name upon a brick as a perpetual memorial. And I don't know if that's correct or not. Can you see them engraving their names on the bricks as they were building the tower? Amen. What's that for? You know, listen now. I say that because, see, what do we have anything to do with our own salvation? Obeying God is what we have to do. And in our world today, you got everybody want praise. Yeah. Everybody want praise. Everybody want recognition. And we need to be careful. We need to be careful of taking God's praise. The scripture calls it, he says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 26, Galatians 5, let us not be desirous of vain glory. Yeah, vain mean it don't even count. You know, suppose we said, I'm not talking about nobody else's church or whatever, because I'm the preacher of this church, and I know we see things, some people up here, what about if I give $1,000, you know, you give $1,000, you give $2,000, $5,000, we put some plaques outside to say, you gave $5,000. That make you feel good? Yeah. I'll tell you what, it make a lot of people feel good. Some people, before they give, they want, you gonna recognize me? Be careful. Yeah, you know. And what are you saying? And even in the Lord's church, you notice it in the Lord's church, how even some of our leaders now, you know, we've hit on this before, you know, we want to be called certain things. Amen, somebody. Yeah, you know, in the brotherhood, I remember a time when nobody would refer to a preacher in the Church of Christ as a doctor, you know, so-and-so. I'm just saying, listen, the leadership here, your preacher right here, I'm not for it. You read on your time, Matthew chapter 23, we need to be humble servants. We are no different than it. We all brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And somebody said, well, that's different. That's the education. Well, use it in the school. Use it somewhere else, but in the Lord's house, we all brothers and sisters. What is it for? Well, it's just, you know, it's just a sign of respect. To who? You? And we start digging in your life, we see, making for ourselves. Nothing that we do. And we need to be careful in this church. You know, people pat us on the back. Yes, you from the Fifth Ward Church? Oh, yeah, Fifth Ward Church is known all over the brotherhood. That's good. I mean, it's good for other people to say that. But we don't need to be saying. We need to say, because you can't stop us. That's what the Bible tells us. You don't let your right hand, let your left hand know what it's doing. Because, see, we don't want to start gloating on people giving us praise. And we surely don't need to be bragging on ourselves. If we give anybody praise, who does it need to be to? Yeah, so don't go around. Yeah, I'm from the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Yeah, don't brag on us. Let God, let other people do that. Amen, somebody? Yeah, and that, this is what it was all about. They wanted to make for the, everybody. We're going to build this tower and everybody, they all going to know who we are. Come on now. Yeah, God despises that. He despises that. Yeah, see, the Lord just needs workers. He don't need nobody to be bragging about what they've done. And so they wanted to make themselves a name. And then listen to this next term. We're back in verse number 4 also. Otherwise, we will be scattered. Across a boat, scattered abroad from over the face of the earth. Now, see, God, that's what God told him to do. God told him, listen, he says, I want you to be fruitful, I want you to multiply, and I want you to fill the earth. He says, I want you to scatter. Notice this, they were worrying about staying together. And sometimes even we do the same thing even today. We worrying about building a name for our, notice this. This is just fact. With our congregation here, our attendance has been staying around 800 to 900. Sometimes when we have one service, we'll get to 1,000, 1,100. But from 800 to 1,000 people, our attendance has been staying around that for the past 10 years. And that's a blessing. That is the exception in the brotherhood. There are very few congregations that have as many. But somebody may be asking the question, well, why don't our numbers grow more? Because we're baptizing people. We're trying to baptize 100 people. It's just the nature of the city we live in. People in transit, people moving all the time, going back and forth. But if we don't keep evangelizing, keep adding people to this body, our numbers would drop in a heartbeat. But I say that because, well, what can we do? What can we do to grow the kingdom and continue to grow the kingdom? I've planted this seed in our elders' heads, and we've talked about it. And sometimes we shy away from it because you know why? Because we want to protect our own. And we want to make sure that we take care of ourselves and we don't mess up nothing. And we want our attendance to be. But see, listen now. If we're going to grow, the best way to me, I see in my mind as I read the Word of God, is what we need to be doing is finding places that there is a need in the Lord's church and scattering and sending those to plant seeds where there can be more growth in the kingdom. But it takes faith to do that. It takes faith to do that because, see, we're only going to grow so big right here. We're only going to grow. Yes, we have to take care of them. We have to do the Lord's work. And you know the model. One of the models where you can see evidence of it is when this church planted the work in Missouri City years ago. Now that congregation is over 250 members because a few members here went to that area and we canvassed that area and there was a need and now the church has grown. So really, we're the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. That's the Missouri City Church of Christ. Our numbers, instead of 1,000, they really, if we wanted to be, we are one body in Christ, they would be 1,200 to 1,300 people. Suppose we found another area in another, maybe not necessarily in Houston, but some part of town, somebody's hometown, that there's a need for a congregation. I don't want to leave Fifth Ward. Well, I know all of us can't leave. We don't want everybody to leave. Amen, somebody. But the commandment was for them to scatter. And that's our mindset sometimes. We want to hang with our own, hold on to our own, be our own. Sometimes we even do it in our families. We are building a fortress in our, you know, I want all my children together. And I'm going to teach them at home. And you can't keep them at home always. You can't protect them from everything. Listen to what the Bible says. He says, In the early church, in Acts chapter 8, I just need to stop in 3 minutes. The early church, in Acts The church was established in, everybody's all right? The church was established in Jerusalem. And Jesus, before he left this world, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he told them to go. And they started the church in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. And they stayed in Jerusalem from Acts chapter 2 to all the way to Acts chapter 8. They stayed there. The church grew in literally by thousands, but God told them to go, but they stayed in Jerusalem. And not until after persecution came, in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was stoned, in Acts chapter 7, when persecution, not until then that they scattered. They started leaving. And listen to what the scripture says in Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. God did not intend for the descendants of Noah to find a place and camp out forever. God intended for them to spread in all of the world. God wants everybody to receive his blessings. Don't you know there needs to be another Church of Christ in an area that is in need, and some places will not have them till somebody goes. To somebody's goal. And here we see the church scattering, doing just what God told them. We are not, listen to church, we are not building a fortress here for the Field Ward Church of Christ. We're not trying to build a fortress and protect ourselves from the city of Houston. We are the light of the world. That's our mindset, is we are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And I hope and pray we learn a lesson from even the Old Testament, even from our history, even from our family. See, listen, you and your own family, you can't protect your children from everybody in the world. Yeah, as much as I love them, some African, we need to have a school here at the Field Ward Church. I think that would be beautiful for us to have a school for our children, to teach them moral values and teach them education, because we need more Christian teachers in education. Yeah, because some of these schools, Lord have mercy. But we're not teaching them the values of Christ to lock them up in a fortress. We're teaching them so they can go out and they can share the gospel with somebody else. They can share the message with somebody else. They can share the word of God. They can share their lives with their neighbors. You know, we have some of us don't know nobody on our street. I'm not saying that's necessarily bad, because you have to watch out. You got some crooks. You got some devils. You know, but you've been on your street for 20 years, and you don't know nobody on your street. Is everybody evil on your street? And I know, but you don't know anybody. You haven't had any occasion where you could have nobody died on your street. Hasn't anybody gotten sick on your street that you know about, and they got sick, somebody died, and you didn't send a piece of a flower? You didn't write a note? You didn't send an encouragement? Aren't we the light of the world? Are we trying to just hang on? We don't, our children can't play with nobody. And then when it's time for them to really get out there, I tell you what, you lock up your children for 18 years if you want to. Keep them in your house and teach them everything, the Bible. They know all the books of the Bible. You can't keep them in there forever. I'm tell you what's going to happen. When you let them go out, when they go out to college, when they go somewhere else, and they haven't been associated with nobody, you know what's going to happen? The world is going to eat them alive. And some of you know examples of that right now today, who folks can't cope because they haven't. And so we need to know our history. Lord, help us to be wise in our dealings. Help us to open our mouths. Help us to spread this good news everywhere we go. And next, not this coming Friday. Is it this coming Friday? Next Friday, we're having our seven home Bible fellowship. You know why we're doing that? Because some people are not going to come here. Some people never, but some of us, we can get them to come to our house. And we're going to eat together. But they're going to see that we real people. Some of us, you know, if some of you that go to church every Sunday and some of your neighbors see you, they think you're in a cult. Yeah, they see, they go to church every Sunday. I'm scared of them. And some people do. You know why? Because they don't know us. They don't know us. And some ways to get to know people is to break the ice and to be yourself and to laugh sometimes. We do laugh and we cry. They see we real people. But they just need to see we love God and we're going to obey his word. So these fellowship, find one of these homes and you go eat and we're going to open the word of God. We talking to the brother. They're not going to be long, but they're going to give a simple knowledge of what God's will is for us today. Lord, I mean, let's learn from our history, but let's do better. Amen? Amen. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you need to be. You need to be added to the body of Christ. You need to be in the kingdom of God. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Are you willing to repent of all of your sins, to confess his name, to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins? God will add you to his body, to his family, the one you can read about in your Bible, the one that there is only one kingdom, there's only one way, there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, there's only one gospel. God wants the whole world to be in his body. And if you're baptized, that's what God does, add you to his body. If you're here and you have a prayer request, that's what the body is here for. You have a burden, let us pray for you. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody's knocking at your door.
Yeah.
Oh,
sinner,
why don't you answer somebody? He's knocking at your door. Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody's knocking at your door. Oh, sinner, why don't you answer somebody? He's knocking at your door. Knocks like Jesus. Somebody's
knocking
your door. Knocks like Jesus. Somebody's knocking at your door.